I have a good friend here. His name is Raj. And Raj is from Kamloops. And I know some of you very well, some of you not so well. But I know there's a ton of hard workers in this room. And I just want to submit to you that Raj is one of the hardest working people that I've ever met. He's got skills and jobs that I didn't even know he had. Every time we hang out, I'm like, he's doing something else. Seems like he never stops. He's the youth and young adult and barista and production team and worship team member and small group leader. You just do so much at your church in Kamloops, Oasis Church. And he's going to bring the word to us today. Why don't you come on up here, Raj? I'm so excited to hear what you have to say. Will you join me in praying for Raj today? Jesus, we just thank you for Raj. We thank you that you've given him not just a word, but an anointing to bring that word. We ask that you, Holy Spirit, would right now lay upon him prophetic words, a way that you would speak to us in a way that it's not Raj, it's you, Holy Spirit. I pray that you would anoint him for your purposes. I pray that he would be bold to share truth, that he wouldn't shy away, and that he would be blessed simply because he said yes to you and that he is here in this moment. He's come all the way from Kamloops. Just bless him and bless his house. We pray for Oasis. Would they be blessed because he's obedient? They are already blessed because they have a Raj, but would you bless him even more and bless their house because he's been obedient? We humble ourselves to hear from you. Help us to have humble, open hearts. Open our ears, open our eyes to see what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.
Five Corners Church, how's it going? I love it. Thank you so much, Danny. That's so kind. I should take you everywhere I go so you can talk highly like that of me. But so thankful to be here. Hey, I want to just say real quick, it is such an honor and privilege to be here this morning with you guys. I just want to honor Pastor Danny. Thank you so much for inviting me. God is doing something amazing in and through this place. God is speaking to each and every single one of you every week, and we're so thankful for faithful leaders and volunteers and pastors at this house, and I'm believing that God is going to move in such incredible ways this year, not just through leaders and pastors, but through his church. And newsflash, you guys are his church. So I'm so grateful and honored to be here this morning to speak. And if you don't know me, my name is Raj, like Danny said. I was born and raised in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Anyone ever been there? Okay, come on, Winnipeg. Y'all know real snow, okay? I was born and raised there for the first 18 years of my life, and then I moved out to Abbotsford, B.C., where I went to Bible college out there and graduated with a degree, graduated in 2020, and recently moved to Kamloops, where I now serve as a youth and young adults pastor there at Oasis Church. And it's been amazing. But coming from Winnipeg to now living in Kamloops has been a massive change, okay? If you know me, I'm a big city guy. I love the big city. I love just the lights and the buildings and the people walking around, the busyness, and it's just me. So moving from Winnipeg, now living in Kamloops, is a massive change. And if you don't know much about Winnipeg, here's how I'll sum it up for you. Is throughout the summer, there's a ton of construction and a lot of mosquitoes, okay? And in the winter, it's a lot of snow and it gets real cold. If we think it gets cold here, guys, let me tell you, Winnipeg, it gets to like negative 35, negative 40. I mean, my eyelashes are frozen for crying out loud, okay? If you're ever where your eyelashes begin to freeze, leave. This is your PSA to leave that place, all right? I mean, don't get me started on how tall the snow banks were, okay? They were massive. I mean, it's like, all right, like, what's not taller than me? You know what I mean? Like, my youth students are taller than me. But that was a massive change for me. And I remember in that time in my life as an 18-year-old, really just processing and praying, God, are you leading me from Winnipeg to Abbotsford? I didn't even know what Abbotsford was. I was like, Abba, what? And I remember just as an 18-year-old, God, are you leading me? Is this it? Like, is this the next stage in my life that you're leading me into? And I was hit with two realities. One, yes, God was leading me. out of Winnipeg into Abbotsford. Thank you, God. And two, my life was dramatically about to change. That if I were to say yes to Jesus and follow where I believe he's leading me, my life was dramatically about to change. I mean, everything I've ever known for the last 18 years of my life, I was about to leave. I was about to leave. Everything that I've known, my friends and family were now going to be at a distance from me, and I'm barely going to be able to see them, and I'm about to leave Winnipeg and go to Abbotsford. Go from a big city to a small city, and that was scary change. Anyone ever been through some scary changes in their lives? That was a dramatic change for me, and I did not want that. I did not want this kind of change, at least. But I reflect on that season of my life, and here's what I learned in that season. Following Jesus, and I mean truly following Jesus, will require three things from us. It will require to trust, to change, and to sacrifice. And I'd like to present to you this morning that maybe often we would love to declare with our lips and our mouths that God, I'll trust you with everything. I'll trust you with my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength. I'll trust you. God, I'll change. Whatever you want me to change, I'll change. You want me to change that? I'll change. I'm all in. I'll sacrifice whatever. But we don't truly mean it. And maybe, without even realizing, we keep God at a far distance. Because if we were to really walk in close relationship with God, we will realize the gospel actually requires us to change, and we don't want to change. So if you're writing notes this morning, the title of my message is called God at a Distance. God at a Distance. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts this morning? Right now in this moment, Lord, would you speak? God, would you reveal any area in our lives that we need to change? God, would you chisel away any area in our lives that are hindering us from our relationship with you? That's hindering us from freedom. That's hindering us from holiness. That's hindering us from walking in right relationship with you. God, I pray as we dive into your word this morning, you'd speak so loud, so clear, that your word would pierce our hearts this morning. God, I pray for a softness in our hearts to receive and to respond this morning. In Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. I'm going to apologize in advance. This morning, I was sick a few weeks ago, but a cough has been lingering. So if I cough, I apologize, and I appreciate your patience with me. If you got your Bibles this morning, would you turn to Luke, the book of Luke, in chapter 5, and we're going to explore the verses 1 to 11. Luke 5, verse 1 to 11. Here's what it says. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of the Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full of fish they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. Verse 8, when Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, O Lord, please leave me I'm such a sinful man. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Now, out of these 11 verses that we just read, there are 10 words that hit me to the core. Just 10 words. And these words are, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." 10 words. Now, Simon's response to this whole encounter was quite interesting because it really emphasized how great of a miracle this was, right? Like, there was something grand and great about this miracle that got Simon to self-reflect on the condition of his heart and soul. Like, if you think about it, Simon was just a regular dude who was just a fisherman. He was just a professional fisherman. Like, this was his hobby, his lifestyle, his love, his job. This is what he just knew what to do. He knew everything about fish. What weather conditions the fish is best to catch in, the water current conditions, what weather conditions would be best to catch fish in. He knew everything. Right? Let me lay out this scene for you in this scripture. Jesus is traveling Capernaum, and he's a busy man. Like, his schedule's full. He's busy casting out demons left, right, and center. He's going out preaching and teaching in synagogues. He's healing people of various sicknesses and diseases. And crowds were beginning to gather around him because Jesus' reputation was now spreading throughout the region. People began to hear of this man named Jesus, and people were like, "Wait, you're healed? Wait, you don't have leprosy anymore? I thought only God can heal leprosy during that time." And so Jesus' popularity was spreading around, and so people began to crowd around Jesus just to hear him preach and teach, but mostly was hoping to receive a touch from Jesus because they wanted to be healed by him. And so Jesus has now found himself on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and the crowds began to flood, so much so that Jesus is now like, "I got to go into a boat and preach." And so Jesus goes, "Simon, I need your boat." Now, why does Jesus pick Simon's boat out of all the boats? Now, we would think that this is Jesus and Simon's first interaction with each other. In fact, it's not. In fact, in the previous chapter, Luke chapter 4, you'll see Jesus actually at Simon's house healing Simon's mother-in-law. And so Jesus gets Simon's boat, and he's preaching to this whole crowd. And Jesus gets finished done preaching. And he gets Simon to do the most interesting thing. He goes, "Simon, get your boat, go into the deep into the water, and cast your net into the water and catch some fish." Now, I need you to understand and picture this, okay? Because this was quite absurd that Jesus would tell Simon how to catch fish and what to do. I mean, if you really think about it, Jesus had no business as a carpenter telling a professional fisherman on how to do his profession, right? Peter knows everything about his profession. Logically, Jesus shouldn't know anything. I mean, I've been a barber for 10 years now. Imagine this. A construction worker comes into the barbershop who has no idea about the hair industry, tells me how to cut hair and what to do. It makes zero sense. And this is what we see with Jesus and Simon, which Jesus is telling a professional fisherman on how to do his profession. And Simon's response is, "Master, well, you see, I don't know, because we've been up all night trying to catch fish, and we didn't catch a thing." Has God ever asked you to do something and your first initial response has always been of doubt and hesitation? This is what we're seeing with Simon right in this moment. And Simon continues to go, "Well, all right, if you say so, I'll cast my net down into the water." And before we know it, fish overflowing the nets, so much so that the nets are tearing, and all these men are bringing the fish into the boats, and now the boats are sinking. I'd love to present to you this morning that perhaps it wasn't necessarily the miracle of the fish being gathered that got Simon to his knees, making him aware of his own sinful nature. Perhaps it was the miracle of who Jesus is as a person, that through this firsthand miracle experience, Simon for the first time acknowledges Jesus as his Lord. Yet, why is Simon's response then? Stay away from me. Please leave me. Don't come near me. Stay at a distance. Why is Simon's response to Jesus is to keep him at a distance from him? See, Simon's response to Jesus was to keep Jesus at a distance as a result of his sinful nature. Is this your initial response with the sin in your life, with the guilt and shame that you carry in your life? It's to keep God at a distance because, God, I'm not worthy to be in your presence. And because of the sin in my life, I got to push you away. I can't come near. I'm not worthy. I got to keep you at a distance. The shame and guilt is too much. So I can't. I'm okay here. You stay over there. And here's what we'll begin to tell ourselves. We'll begin to tell ourselves that if we truly expose ourselves to God, and I mean fully expose ourselves to God, the good, the bad, the ugly, God won't want anything to do with us. And that's not true at all. You ever been there? God, why would you forgive me again? I keep messing up. God, why would you forgive me for the same sin I keep bringing to you over and over and over? Why would you, God, show mercy and grace to me when I don't deserve it at all? God, why would you show love when I keep doing the things I know I shouldn't do, yet I keep doing it? God, why would you? God, why would you? God, why would you? God, why? And here's what we'll do. Here's what we'll do. As a result of our sin, we will keep God at a distance because if we were to really walk in close relationship with God, the more convicted we will feel, and the more we will realize, whoa, I need a change. That sin in my life needs to change. The way I treat people poorly needs to change. My complaining needs to change. The way I gossip needs to change. I need to change. It's really hard to know what you ought to do when you keep the Creator and your Heavenly Father far from you. Because when we walk in closer relationship with God, He begins to reveal the things that we've been shoving underneath the rug for a long time. And so we'll keep God at a distance because, well, the gospel actually requires us to change. And if we walk in close relationship with God, we have no choice but to change. And maybe, just maybe, we don't want to change. Even if it's the most healthiest thing we can do. Here's what I needed to change. I needed to change the way I viewed God. because for a long time I viewed God as a coach. What are you doing? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Get back on the field. Do better. Be better. You failed again? Come on, work on it. And for a long time, this coach mentality, I gotta be better, or I gotta earn my way, I gotta do better. I can't keep messing up, I can't keep failing. Coach is gonna get angry. Coach is gonna put me on the bench. And I had to change the way I viewed God from coach and begin to view him as father. Hey, my child, Raj, I love you. It's going to be okay. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I keep messing. Hey, I'm near. I'm never far. I'm right here with you. Whatever you're going through, I'm walking right beside you. I go before you. You're covered. You're safe. I love you too much to keep you in the same place. I love you too much to keep you as the same person. And in the same way, a father, out of love, disciplines and corrects his child, the same way our Heavenly Father does that for us. Through his unconditional, unfailing love. Here's what we need to understand this morning, church. To neglect godly change will cost you. To neglect godly change will cost you. Take David, for instance. In the springtime, when kings would normally go out to battle, David stayed at home. Now, I want to speak to those in the room that feel like maybe you're in a spiritual slump. If you feel like you've been in a spiritual slump, an indicator of you being in a slump might be that you stopped doing what you would normally do. What are the things that has given you life that you stopped doing? Very quickly, that will put you in a spiritual slump, because David, as king, would normally go out to war. But this time, he stayed home at his palace. And guess what? As he's kicking in his palace, lazy, not going to war, he sees a woman across the street named Bathsheba bathing. And he goes, bring that woman to my palace, and he sleeps with her. And the kicker is, she's married. And not only married to anyone, she's married to one of David's soldiers, Uriah. And another kicker is, David gets her pregnant. And so David's like, oh no. All right, Uriah, come home. We'll drink, get you drunk, and then you go back home to your wife so it can look like that. I didn't get her pregnant, you got her pregnant, right? So David's scheming this plot. Uriah, being responsible, sleeps at David's palace, and David's like, shoot. All right, we'll try the next night. Gets Uriah drunk again, and Uriah again stays at David's place and does not go to his wife. And so David's like, all right, me getting him drunk did not work. So, let's kill him. So David sends Uriah to the front lines of the battle to purposefully get him murdered so that David can continue concealing his sin. When I say to neglect godly change will cost you, I really mean it, because look at this. It was more convenient for David to kill than to change. Could you imagine how different of a story this could have looked if David stopped concealing his sin and he confessed and going, guys, I messed up. Guys, I need forgiveness. Lord, I need forgiveness. I messed up. I need a change. I should have been at war when I normally should have gone, and instead I stayed home, slept with a woman, got her pregnant, and I tried to cover up my sin and conceal it. but I need change and I need help. You know what would have happened if David confessed and didn't conceal? A man would have not been murdered that day. It was more convenient for him to kill than to change. To neglect godly change will cost you. So let me ask you a question, church. And I'd love for you to reflect on this. What is it in your life that needs to change? That has been destroying you or not benefiting you? What is it? What needs to change? Is it greed? Is it pride? Is it your secret sin? Is it your mind? This is why in Romans, Paul talks about being transformed by the renewal of your mind. Why? Because where your mind goes, your life follows. Do not underestimate the power of your mind. What do you think about all day? What are you constantly worried about all day? Where your mind goes, your life follows. And this is why the urge is to change your mind. If you do not change what you need to change, what is it going to cost you? What is that thing in your life that if you do not change, what is it going to cost you? I'm going to conclude here in the next few minutes. So this morning, church, I'd like to explore three key elements that we are called to as followers of Jesus that we must implement. If we truly say, God, I'm all in. Jesus, I want to truly follow you. Number one is this. We're called to trust. See, when Jesus tells Simon to go into the deep water and throw his net to catch some fish, Simon trusted Jesus' words. There was a level of trust in Jesus' words. Why? Because Simon goes, well, Jesus, if you say so, I'll do it. And as a result, a professional fisherman trusting the words of a carpenter turned out to be a great miracle. What are you having a difficult time trusting the Lord with? It's your finances, your grandkids, your kids. What are the things in your heart that you're having a difficult time trusting the Lord with? Because it becomes very difficult to trust someone when you keep them at a distance. See, the closer you walk with someone and get to know them, the easier it is to trust them. And perhaps the reason why you lack trust in your heavenly Father is because you honor the Lord with your lips, but your heart is very far. Church, I want to tell you this morning that God's a trustworthy God. And he calls us to walk in close relationship with him and to trust him. See, look, walking in close proximity to God is not to condemn us. Walking in close proximity to God is not to condemn us, but to transform us. The question this morning is, are you willing to trust your Heavenly Father even when you don't understand, even when it doesn't make sense? Number two is we're called to change. Simon, upon this miracle, realizing his sinful nature as a result of this miracle that had just happened, And through this miracle, it propels Simon to change the way he views himself and Jesus. See, proximity to God truly exposes our need for change. Have you been keeping God at a distance because you neglect change in your life and in your heart? See, it's not enough to just know God, but we must be transformed by Him. See, many of us get easily stuck in this comfortability of keeping God close enough just to know Him, but not close enough to be transformed by Him. And this transformation is not just about behavior modification. This is not about doing different things, church. This is about being a different person. See, when we walk in close relationship with God, it will push us to deal with the things we would rather shrug to the side and not deal with. It's very, very easy to be like, I don't want to deal with this right now. It takes maturity and hard work and the help of your Heavenly Father to go, okay, I need to deal with this. It's been far too long neglecting the things I need to change in my life. See, the gospel demands change. And change begins with an honest reckoning of our need for a Savior. See, walking in close relationship with God not only requires trust and change, but church, it will require sacrifice. We are called to sacrifice. See, in verse 11, Jesus replied to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people." And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. See, when Simon decides to follow Jesus, he's not just leaving behind his job. We got to get this. He's not just leaving behind his job. He's embracing a new identity. And Jesus tells him, from now on, you will fish for people. And the closer we get to God, the more we experience His healing, holiness, and freedom. What we think is lost in the process of change is actually replaced with just something far greater. A new life in Christ. See, Jesus didn't just take Simon's profession. He gave him purpose. And as we walk closer to God, we find that Jesus doesn't just require change. He empowers us to live in the fullness of our new identity and purpose in Him. And the question this morning, church, is, are you willing to sacrifice everything because you love your Maker more than the miracle? Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm a sinful man. I wonder if Simon's response was just that. Because when he saw Jesus come into his house and heal his mother-in-law who was deathly ill, Simon didn't do anything about it. He didn't acknowledge Jesus as his Lord in that moment. In fact, this miracle he had just witnessed before his eyes, Simon didn't do anything, and he just carried on with his life. Nothing changed. And I wonder how many experiences you've experienced God do amazing things in your life. He has healed you, confirmed things to you, spoken life to you, provided amazing people in your life. provided for your needs. And yet, even after experiencing God and His miracles in your life, nothing changed. You did nothing about it. You saw God do an amazing thing in your life, and you're like, thank you, God, I'm going to continue on with my life. And I need you to understand this morning, church, that God is going to continue to reveal Himself to you. He never stops speaking. He's never far. In fact, He's closer than the very breath that we breathe. So He's going to continue to reveal Himself to you. But the responsibility is on you to respond. And you will either do nothing about it, or you will acknowledge your sinful nature and draw near to God. See, perhaps Simon should have had the same response as he is now with the miracle of the fish. Perhaps Simon should have had the same response when he saw his mother-in-law being healed by Jesus by just one touch. But he didn't. But there's good news, church. Because another opportunity came for Simon to respond. And in this moment, Simon chooses to respond. And maybe this morning is another opportunity that God is presenting to you. Because for far too long, you've seen God speak to you, do amazing things in your life, and you did nothing about it. You carried on with your life and nothing changed. But I got good news for you this morning. That God is going to continue to reveal Himself to you, continue to speak, and continue to give you opportunities to respond. And this morning can be that morning where we acknowledge our sinful nature and go, God, I need a change. There's things in my heart that's cluttered my heart that needs to change. And here's what Simon maybe should have said. Oh Lord, please draw near. I'm a sinful man. If you're willing if you're willing to do this, would you just close your eyes with me? So I believe this morning God is giving us an opportunity to respond in His presence. That you have an opportunity right now, where you're at, to draw near to God again and to not keep Him at a distance anymore. God, I pray right now in this moment, would you just speak to our hearts? God, would you reveal the areas that need change in our hearts? God, I thank you, Lord, that even the last 30 minutes, God, that you've been speaking to people in this room. God, we're tired of pushing you away as a result of our sin. And that's exactly what the enemy wants, is he wants us to conceal our sin and not confess it. He wants us to keep us in hiding and in darkness. Because if we can keep in darkness, the more we will push God away. But God, I pray this morning would be an opportunity where we stop concealing our sin and we start confessing our sin and draw near to God again. Because the cost will be too much. And so, God, I pray this morning that as you are calling us to trust you, to change in your presence, and to sacrifice like you did for us, I pray, God, would you give us courage and boldness to say yes to you that, God, I need this change in my life. With every eyes closed and every head bowed, I'd love for us to take a moment that if this is you this morning where you're going, yeah, there's some things in my heart I need change. It's been a long time since I've spent time with my Heavenly Father. I viewed him as coach for too long, and I need to view him as my father who just loves his child. And if this is you this morning who desires change and wants change in your heart and to draw near God again, I'm going to ask you to do something bold. With every eyes closed, would you just shoot up your hand? Going, that's me. I need change. I need to draw near to God again. Yeah, thank you for those hands. Come on. God, it's been far too long. Thank you, Lord, that you've been so patient. Thank you, God, that you've been so kind, so generous, so loving. I thank you, God, that through every single storm we walk through, you're never far, and you are always near. Help us, Lord, to not push you further away. That when we sin, when we acknowledge our sinful nature, God, that it doesn't push you away. We don't push away, but God, that we would draw near to you. Acknowledging and realizing that we need you now more than ever. Because without you, we're messed up. We're too far gone. That this life without you is just too hard. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to get through. So God, I need you now more than ever. Come on, this moment, would you just draw near to God right now in your own way? Just begin to thank him that he's never far. Just begin to thank him. He's been the same God today, yesterday, and forever. He will never fail you. He never has. He never will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, begin to thank him. Change us, Lord. Renew us. We need you, Lord. God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you. Come on, just begin to thank him. Begin to express how much you need him. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh, rock, oh, rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, your faithfulness. Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If anyone needs prayer this morning, Pastor Danny and I will be available up in the front. And we'd love to just pray for you. If I can encourage you, please do not leave this place without needing what you're in, without receiving what you're needing. Far too long, we hear God speak. And God impressed things on our hearts, and we leave not doing anything about it. So I pray this morning you'd come and receive what you're needing. Because God just wants to love on you this morning. He wants to speak to your heart. He's your father, and you're his child. So if you're needing prayer this morning, as we begin to close, please come up. We'd love to speak life into you and cover you with prayer. Come on. Thank you, Father, for this morning. We love you. We glorify you. And we honor your name. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, we wanna pray for you. So Mary Rose is gonna keep playing for a little bit. And if you gotta go, that's all good. I'll see you next week. But yeah, don't miss this. Don't miss this. If you need prayer, if you want prayer, if you feel compelled to be prayed for, come on up. Otherwise, I love you. I bless you. Go and be the church.